Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Let's head out to the phones and welcome in friend of the program, a former Clemson basketball player, Terrence Oglesby. Terrence, thanks for joining us on the Rundown today, man. I appreciate it.
Rob, thank you for having me on again. I'm glad you're feeling better.
I am moving along, my friend. And I tell you what, I want to jump into a lot of things here today. And we're going to talk about Clemson's newest commitment, the big center they got from IMG Academy that you were telling me before we went on the air. And I want to talk a little bit about the NBA bubble and how that looks like it's working. But being someone that was a student athlete, I have to ask you about the stuff that came down from the Pac-12 players that they said, hey, you know what, if we don't get X, Y, and Z, which X, Y, and Z is a lot, it's 50% of the coaches' revenue, coaches cut their salaries in half, and they wanted to get 50% of the revenue from the Pac-12. I mean, I think they just asked for just way, way, way too much. And, you know, Washington State came out and said, hey, if you're supporting this, then you can be released from the team. And a couple of the guys, including one of the young wide receivers, I think it's Cassidy Woods, is already cleaned out his locker and he's left the program. I mean, this is
good.
This is something that, if right now I think there's 12 players that have said, hey, that we want to do this, but there's hundreds that are being silent. Man, I think this is insane what they're asking for.
Well, the 50-50 revenue split, that comes from the NBA's collective bargaining agreement, because that's what goes between the owners and the players. So I see where they got that number. But something that these guys need to keep in mind, Rob, is like these universities are not – athletic entities. They are scholastic entities,
right,
that are there for scholastic purposes. Now, some of these other things, in regards to the university's mind, sports are ancillary participations. Like this is just something extra that the sport likes to do in order to quote unquote advertise for the university. And that's how a lot of these academic professors think. So, like, whenever I read something where it was like Stanford was talking about they have a certain amount of endowment, which is otherworldly, and they wanted a piece of that to go towards the – like, it's an academic institution. It's not an athletic institution. The NBA is an athletic institution.
Right.
The NFL is an athletic institution. So that's where I think, you know, these students are just ill-informed.
Right.
And they, like you said, they are asking for far too much. And the fact that I read some of these things, they're just absurd, and there's no way they could be feasibly possible. I would hate for those 12 players not to have a spot anymore. It's just they don't realize what a Stanford education will give you. That young man, the wide receiver from Washington State, he doesn't understand what an education from Washington State University can give you.
Right.
And, you know, the ability to obtain an education for a lot of students that otherwise would not have the funds to be able to do so,
right,
I think is wildly overlooked.
I think that something else that I read too was that, and I think it was from, I want to say Connor O'Neill from the Winston-Salem Journal. He said one of the ADs that he's interviewed has said that if they gave each student athlete just $50,000, a $50,000 check every year, and said, okay, well, that's it, you know, go and get your scholarship, you go and take care of your education and all of that with it, boarding and everything else, that it would, the university would come out on the better end financially. I mean, they told them that because of the perspective of they pump a lot of money into each athlete. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that a lot of these guys get, and I know it differs from school to school, but I mean, some of the stuff that athletes get is pretty outstanding. And if you do what you're supposed to do, like the Deshaun Watsons of the world, where you get your degree in 3 years, you know, you can do your 3 years of school, leave and go on to the pros and then have that degree. And if something happens to you, you've still got a degree from Clemson or Washington State or wherever.
Well, I think You know what, that AD, I don't know who you're talking, who he was talking about, but, right, or talking to, but he makes a great point. But here's the caveat. So, okay, fine, we'll give you a $50,000 check every year. You get to go to school, but you have to pay, one, you have to pay for your own books. You have to pay for your own food. You have to pay for your own flights to get to away games, because those are significant flights. And, oh, by the way, if you're in the Power Five, and that's who we're talking about, really, the Power Five.
Right.
If you're in the Power Five, you need to pay for your seat portion on a private plane, because that's where you're going. Oh, and by the way, too, you're probably staying at the Ritz-Carlton, wherever you're staying. So you need to foot that bill too. I'm just gonna. I know the exact number, because I had a chance to look at those numbers of the total value of each basketball player over the course of a season, and it is well into six figures.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's
and you got to keep it well into six figures, and you also have to keep in mind too, medical treatment. They're at their beck and call every moment of the day. Living is paid for. And then that's not including Pell Grant, by the way, Division II athletes, they don't get to keep their Pell Grant. They have to put that into their scholarship fund. So it goes directly towards their scholarship, because they only have a finite amount of scholarships. They don't get to keep it. So
the other end of it, too, is
absurd.
That you have in addition to the stuff that you talked about, I mean, just the tutors and things like that that will help you get where you need to go on the academic end. That stuff doesn't come free.
Oh, no. I mean, could you imagine how much ineligibility we would have if you just gave a bunch of 18-year-old kids moving away from their family? We would just be like, all right, well, go get your homework done. you can just forget it. Like, the kids that are, especially the freshmen, like, they need help.
With everything,
putting their time together, and keeping everything on track. Like, and if you want to order tutors, but that'll cost you money too. Like, I would say, now I'm just going to say this: tutors and books and everything was not included in the number that I saw, but it's north of 200. Like, think about that for a second. These kids might as well be paid like professional athletes. My argument is this, Rob. I think they are getting paid like professional athletes. The only difference is the university is spending that money for them. And I think that's pretty significant. They are teaching these young men and women how to be professionals prior to them getting out in that professional world. And by the way, those prices of, you know, I got to get my ankle stemmed, or I got to get some heat on my back from the physical therapist.
Right.
That price will smack you in the mouth the second that you leave your university.
Yeah.
And it's stuff like that that they don't really think about.
And I agree with you on that. And it's just, the more and more I look at what the young men from Washington State or the young men from the Pac-12 are asking for, when I first read it, I was like, oh, wow, they're talking about just this just for the coronavirus. But they're talking about social issues and everything else that's going on throughout the country. So, I mean, there really are. They're not just taking the apple. They're taking the entire basket, and the tree is what they're asking for. I mean, it is absurd what they're trying to do out there. And I don't know how that's going to work out, but it is something that obviously Washington State's already said, well, thank you, we appreciate what you've done here, but we're not going to do that. Go ahead and clean out your locker. And that's what's happened with at least one player, according to his father. He put that out on Twitter last night.
There will be some uproar and stuff like that. There'll be some uproar, but eventually that kid's going to end up going to like Eastern Washington or something like that. And he's going to find out what the normal, like what it is normally for student athletes. Like, he's not going to be able to, the access that you have at a Washington State or a Power Five school is not the same as the access that you have at any other university outside of those Power Five in the country. So it's a moot point. It's an ill-informed point, and it's very obvious that I'm happy that the Players' Tribune isn't that what it came out on, Rob?
Yeah, the Players' Tribune. Yep.
I'm happy that they give them an outlet to speak.
Right.
But somebody needs to go to these students and be like, hey, man, like, you don't quite understand the fiscal nature of the business you're provoking.
Right.
And I think and it was just, you know, there's a couple of good points. Like, obviously, you would like all the safety procedures. Yeah. I respect that point. But these other things, when you're just trying to pile on, like you said, it's like, what's your goal here, really?
Right. And when I think about that, though, I just finished up the latest edition of Last Chance U on Netflix, and you see all of these young men striving to get just a D1 offer. And the big success story is a kid going to Oregon State in this year's series. And they've had guys go to, you know, to Tennessee and stuff like that before. But you get a behind-the-scenes look of what they have at a junior college, and not everything is, you know, completely what they get at the big Power Five school. I think that's something that a lot of guys that come in, I mean, they should see that and see that, hey, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And, you know, we actually have it pretty good here with what's going on. And they do take pretty good care of us. So I just think they don't completely get it. It's just my opinion.
They're saying at a 4-year, 5-star resort, like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
This is the thing, like, I didn't realize either. It's like, oh, well, money would make everything better. No, sir.
Yeah.
It doesn't. And you're not, you know, you could run and you're going to have to look after expenses and all that stuff. Do I think, like are these kids going to enjoy eating Subway twice a day if they're not getting food catered and all that stuff? Like, it's ridiculous. Like, what are we talking about? It's just, you know, these kids, they're not going to take care of themselves like they would. They'd be pinching pennies and doing all that and being worried. They don't really realize. They just think it's kind of like an open check. And are you wanting all of that, those ancillary benefits on top of getting paid? Because that's not how the world works. It's a ridiculous request. And I think collectively, everybody involved with intercollegiate athletics just looks at it and is like, come on, man, you got to be kidding. It's not even close.
Well, and once again, we'll see how that works out as we go along. And I think that we're going to have some sort of a college football season. I don't know if it's going to be it's not going to be like it normally was. The ACC's already said, hey, no bands on the field, so you won't have that aspect of it. I think college football, in my opinion, this year is going to be a made-for-TV event. They'll have maybe 10,000 fans in the stands at the most, and it's all going to be about what we can do to put this product on TV so it'll still seem like we're having a football season, even though the fans in the stands, et cetera, it's just not quite happening. And I think we need to kind of almost look past football season and start thinking about what are we going to do with basketball season, because that's going to be the next big major sport that's up. And we have a good bit of time before, you know, the first games generally start in November. Obviously, the whole world can change by then, but I think we need to start looking forward to that and just kind of say, all right, football is just going to be a made-for-TV event.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see how you go any other way. Putting everybody in the stands is ludicrous at this point. It's just not going to work. But, you know, I think Ohio State or somebody was talking about, well, we could fit like 8% or 12% of people in the state. Like, try to fill it up as much as you can and social distance, but that would make for the most awkward-looking game I've ever seen on television. But, you know, part of the reason I like college sports, and I think I stand with the majority in this, is kind of the pageantry of college sports.
Right.
It's not like the NBA where you can put a screen up behind the bench and be like, oh, well, it's a product. Well, one, the NBA is a great on-screen product when it comes to playing, and, you know, I'm not sure the same can be said for a lot of universities' football team. Like, it's more about everything else.
Right.
And I think it's going to be a problem. Yeah.
It's going to be a problem down the road. I mean, but a lot of the pageantry you're talking about, no bands, the Rose Bowl parade is canceled. I mean, we're not going to have the tailgating is probably, you know, I still think people are going to tailgate. I still think there's going to be a section of folks that are like, you know what, I'm still going to tailgate. I think that's going to happen. But I also think that, there is a it's going to get to a point where we're going to have a breaking point with it. And, you know, we don't have the Palmetto Bowl this year. A lot of the rivalry games are gone. I mean, to me, it's a hollowed football season, in my opinion. I mean, 10 conference games, just stop it. I mean, I can understand people want to get hyped up for it, but in reality, it's just not what we're used to.
No, no. And how about the SEC? You just cut it off. The almighty SEC, which is just cut it off for everybody else, which is absurd.
The C in SEC stands for cowardice. That's what I've talked about on the program, because if you weren't scared of one of your blue bloods actually going out there and having to schedule a non-conference game with a team from a Power 5 conference, and they might stumble in that game, and then you may not have a place at the college football playoff table, that's not that far-fetched. That's exactly what the SEC was talking about, because in their mind, their traditional rivalries of Georgia, Florida, Auburn, Alabama, Florida, LSU, they're going to get those within conference anyway. And the other schools, let's just be completely honest, in reality, they've shown that they really don't care when it comes to that. Now, the interesting thing is next year, are they going to go back to, well, you were scheduled to play your game on the road here next year? If I were the ACC, I would say point blank, no, you canceled on us this year. The games were supposed to be at 3 of the 4 ACC stadiums in 2020. We expect you to have those in the ACC stadiums in 2021. If not, we're not giving up another home game for you. I hope the ACC stands up to the SEC on that front, just because of the amount of revenue that's lost.
Or what they possibly may do, Rob, is like towards the end of the deal with however many games you're supposed to play, you just add one more home game on the back end of that.
But for this season, for this season, but the SEC has said, hey, we're just not doing that, which is...
I'm with that. I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
But,
well, what this comes down to is Georgia, LSU, and Alabama. They want 3 out of the 4 seats at the
CFP.
College football playoff. That's what it comes to. They're just being selfish about it, and they don't want Georgia to stumble against somebody like they always do, and they don't want LSU or whoever to stumble in one of their non-conference games. So they just eliminate one of the problems in the selection process.
Well, Georgia needs to worry about stumbling to South Carolina and not getting blown out by 5 touchdowns in the SEC championship game before they can talk
into the
CFP playoff. I mean, good on good is what you eventually end up with, and good on good doesn't necessarily mean you have 3 teams from the SEC into the college football playoff, but that's a completely different topic. And I want to talk hoops with you before I get you out of here. The NBA bubble has looked like it's working as far as COVID tests have come. No one's tested positive. There are 5 teams that have gone 2-0 to open up the bubble play. One of them being my Phoenix Suns. I'm just saying, in bubble play, they've got a better record than the Lakers right now. I just want to put that out there after they won last night over the Mavericks.
Well, I said it the whole time, Rob. They're talented. Devin Booker can score no matter where he's at. It doesn't matter if he's in a bubble. What I found intriguing, like Devin Booker, for example, Russell Westbrook, some of these guys, like you really see who the dogs are when they're playing against you really see who the dogs are when they're playing in front of nobody and they're still acting the same.
Right.
Like I don't know if you've noticed, but I sure have noticed, like, the flopping and the theatrics have taken a sharp downturn. Like, they're just not as much. Yeah, and it's made for a much better product. You know, you don't have all the fans there, so LeBron's not whining near as much. Now, he gets mad and says he gets smacked, but it's over pretty quick. But, like, there's not all the, oh, I'm feeding to the crowd and that whole thing. But then you have guys like Russell Westbrook, who's talking trash to the video board because there's fans there. I love it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I love every bit of it.
I appreciate that.
I think it's great.
I appreciate guys like Russell Westbrook, but you know what else I like? My Suns don't have a chance in the world of making the playoffs, but they are still playing hard. I mean, you know, when they went, I was like, man, there's no way they're going to play hard at all. And they've gone out and they've played really good basketball, and that win over Dallas last night to me was kind of shocking. I mean, but you know, in theory they're still kind of in the hunt, but a lot of teams are ahead of them. But it seems like everybody has a kind of a high level of play through the first 2 games of the 8, which I didn't think was going to happen. I thought a lot of teams were just going to kind of check out.
It's been nice to see. Now, how many games back are they from the eighth? Let's see, they're 23 back from first.
Yeah, and they're 21 and a half is where the Grizzlies are. So they're basically a game and a half behind the Grizzlies, I believe.
Oh, so they could still make it?
In theory, yeah, because everybody else has pretty much come out of the gate flat. I mean, there's
right.
The only thing is San Antonio is a team that they've won two straight. So if San Antonio mm-hmm. could drop some games, they're ahead of them in the race there. But the only spot that's open is that eight spot because Dallas has already locked up the seven spot. But either way, it's still some great basketball down in the bubble. And I'm enjoying watching
game.
These guys get after it, man.
Yeah, great games. They've been playing within one or two points. The majority of the games have been within 10.
Yeah.
And James Harden's playing his butt off, too. I don't know who watched the Bucks-Rockets last night, but, man, the night before he goes for 49 out of 14 of 20 shooting, 9 boards and 8 assists. Now, his game, I'm not a tremendous fan of it just because he just pounds the air out of the ball. But to be honest with you, man, he has been so crazy efficient. And the Rockets did a nice job guarding Milwaukee despite playing 5 guards. And the crazy thing is, too, is they took 61 threes in regulation last night, which tied an NBA record. Like, they're flipping the game on its head, but you can do that when you have Robert Covington and P.J. Tucker out there defensively and hitting corner threes. But it's been a fun brand of basketball to watch, and the games on television have been so refreshing, and they've been overly competitive, which has been nothing but good for the audience.
Terrence Oglesby joining us here on the Rundown this afternoon. Before we get out of here really quick, Clemson had a commit from a big center from IMG Academy. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Warren Lynn Kidd, top 100 player in the class of 2021, moves up to 2020. Drawn comparisons to Amani Bates at NC State, but with better shooting range. Really good run and jump athlete, 6'11", 235 already. He's probably going to have to gain some weight just because he is a bit wiry. But extremely athletic, really active on the defensive end, soft hands and good feel around the basket, does a nice job with both hands. A rim protector with some shooting range. Now, is he going to be able to extend it out to the three? It's possible, but right now it's more of high post to the top of the key. But a really good get. Anytime a university is able to start getting top 100 players to select to redshirt, it makes it big for that university because it gives that kid time. It makes him a little bit older. And I will say this, Rob. Antonio Reynolds-Dean, who came to Clemson, I think this is going to be his fourth year coming up or third year coming up. You want to talk about one of the most underrated hires in Clemson basketball history as an assistant coach. Since he has come in, he's brought in Alamir Dawes, Chase Hunter. He was a big portion of P.J. Hall and now Warren Lynn Kidd, and the players just keep getting better and better. He was a part of Tevin Mack. He was a part of – I mean, his ability to recruit, to go along with – his obvious basketball knowledge, but to go along with Brad Brownell's X's and O's, Clemson's recruiting has taken a significant uptick. They go from, getting back into the ACC top players, and I'm talking about recent history according to rankings. I'm not trying to knock any of the players there. But to this year being the number 4 recruiting class in the ACC and number 20 in the country.
Yeah.
And Brad Brownell has done a whole lot more with a whole lot less, or a whole lot with a whole lot less. And now that he's starting to get the horses in the barn, it's going to be a pretty fun show to watch this year come basketball season.
I'm looking forward to watching Amir Sims and Alamir Dawes go at it this year because Alamir Dawes is couple more tools in his belt. A little more time under on the paint and everything. I think he's going to be just absolutely outstanding. I think the two of those guys are going to put on a show this year at some
and he's
point.
And he's put on a couple pounds too. He's looking big. He's gained some weight. He's done a nice job during the offseason of really preparing. And I've gotten some phone calls, and there is a lot of optimism coming out of offseason workouts.
Speaking of which, we'll leave it there. But how did he gain weight and stuff like that? Oh, that's just the university, you know, weight program and stuff like that that you can't go and buy. I mean, if you had to go and buy it, it would cost you a fortune.
Meals,
yeah.
Those catered meals, the knowing when to recover, all that stuff. It all costs money, and it hurts your feelings when you got to pay for it on your own. But they don't realize that yet.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, I'll tell you what, man. I appreciate you joining us here on The Rundown. I look forward to chatting with you later on. But Terrence Oglesby, tell us where they can find your podcast, which is always interesting. It's called Let It Fly, right?
Let It Fly with Terrence Oglesby. And then my Twitter handle is @CoachTO22. Follow me on there to, you know, basketball analysis. I talk all sports, but a lot of family stuff, a little bit of that, but mostly basketball.
All right, Terrence, man, thanks for joining us on The Rundown, buddy. I really appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Rob.
All right, bud, thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, sounds good. Just let me know.
Yes, bud, thanks so much.
All right, bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.